This week in KMA Land, Montgomery County Board says yes to clerk position. Mills County Board says no to expansion referendum. Solar project discussions continue in Page County. Pottawatomie and Mills County economic groups join forces. Emerson seeks EMS agreement with Red Oak. And Clarinda Council hires search firm for new police chief. I'm Mike Peterson. After weeks of discussion, Montgomery County officials reached a compromise this week on a new clerk's position to assist with various county offices. By a 3-2 vote Tuesday morning, the county's Board of Supervisors approved a resolution creating a part-time budget, finance, and human resources clerk position on a one-year temporary basis for up to 30 hours per week. The move follows weeks of discussions over whether to add the position, which was proposed by County Auditor Jill Ozuna, citing issues with extreme overtime and difficulties for her and her office to take time off to responsibilities associated with budget selections and other duties. Supervisors Chair Charlotte Schmidt joined Supervisors Bryant Amos and Mike Olson in voting in favor of the new position. Schmidt says she ultimately proposed hiring for the part-time role on a temporary basis as a compromise.
I understand in business, just adding another person isn't going to, we don't know if that will actually be the fix that we need, what's going on. I know that there needs to be help. I know there needs to be help in the treasurer. She needs to, if our county isn't running smoothly, then we will be the last one. We will be accountable as a board. And so I think it's important that, I thought this was a good compromise. Let's try it.
The resolution stipulates the board would review the position after 6 months and before the one-year period ends to determine whether it should transition to a permanent role. Supervisors Alex Burton and Mark Peterson voted against the new role. Peterson says after speaking with a representative from the state auditor's office about their latest audit, he felt there was no pressing concerns that required an additional person in the office.
I asked him, I'm looking at these. I'm seeing there's things that we need to adjust, but do we have major concerns? Are we headed down a road similar to what another unnamed county in Iowa has already gotten to? And he said no. He said there's things that can be corrected, but I guess my whole point of this is we're not in an emergency situation.
Previously, Ozuna's noted that the additional position would not only save the county money and overtime hours, but also reduce the cost of state audit invoices. Amos added the position would report to the supervisors and could assist with any offices needing extra assistance.
The board can change the priorities as needed, where help is needed. As far as the state audit, I don't want to wait until we are in an emergency. I want to see what we can do to help clean it up now. And hopefully this is the answer, and I hope it's going to be a help for many offices, because this is not just about the auditor's office, where we need help in getting things done accurately and on time.
Burton says he appreciates the efforts to find a compromise and make the position temporary initially, but he cited feedback from residents as his reasons for still voting against the new rule.
The feedback that we've gotten has been not in favor of doing this. And we received, as a board, we received two or three different comments, but I've received a lot of others directly as well. So unfortunately, I don't think I can vote in favor of it, but I appreciate that we're working towards a compromise there in terms of making it clearly a temporary to be revisited.
Schmidt says further discussions are necessary on the exact compensation for the position, particularly if they plan to interview candidates and finalize a formal job description. It'll take a citizen's petition for Mills County voters to decide whether to expand the county's Board of Supervisors. By a 2-1 vote Tuesday morning, the Mills County Board of Supervisors rejected a resolution placing the question on the November general election ballot, asking whether to expand the board from 3 to 5 members. Under Iowa law, supervisors can place the question on the ballot through a resolution or a citizen's petition with the required number of signatures can force a similar vote. Supervisor Jack Sayers, who cast the lone vote in favor, says the resolution was proposed 3 weeks ago by the Mills County Matters Working Group. While some concerns previously were raised about a lack of awareness or knowledge of the topic in the general public, Sayers says those discussions often don't ramp up until voters know the way they will have a say in the matter.
People have talked about this for years. People have had this discussion for years. And I believe that by making sure that it's on the ballot, which we can do today, then the conversations of whether it's not and good thing or whether it's a bad thing, those conversations really don't happen unless people know that they're going to have a chance to vote on it. If we're being honest, those conversations don't really happen in detail unless people know that it's going to be on the ballot.
Supervisors Lonnie Mayberry and Richard Crouch voted against the resolution. Mayberry says while he supported the idea of expanding the board in the past, he says circumstances have changed, including the state shifting away several of the supervisors' responsibilities.
I do believe in less government. I am a conservative. I've also seen the state take more and more of our responsibilities away. Workforce development, we don't have anymore. We don't have the oversight on it. Mental health, our judicial districts, among others. I've also heard that through the scuttle at the state and through ISAC that public health and juvenile detention are on the mix. So Big Brother's already stepping in and taking more and more of our responsibilities away, which means less meetings.
Mayberry says he would rather see the additional costs of two more supervisors go towards the sheriff's office or secondary roads. Crouch says he would prefer a petition forcing the election, something he says was a common theme among area counties that expanded from 3 to 5 members. It would also help generate awareness on the topic.
And I called the county around and asked and says, okay, how'd you do this? Oh, by petition. Let the people sign for it. Let the people know what's going on. So that's my main reason why I think it should be done by petition. I realize that, yeah, we could do this very quickly and be done with it. But that doesn't give the answers to the people. If you bring people out, you go to the door and you ask them, would you sign this petition for another 2 supervisors? They're going to ask a few questions. And I think that's the right they have.
Sayers replied residents face an early August deadline to gather the necessary 826 signatures and submit a petition to the board, adding the resolution would allow for an extra month for residents to learn more about the pros and cons of expanding the board. At multiple meetings, Mills County Matters working group member Chris Whitey indicated his group planned to put together an informational campaign of the topic during discussing the pros and cons. Whitey also confirmed to KMA News efforts are already underway to gather signatures for a petition. More discussion over a proposed solar project dominated Tuesday's Page County Board of Supervisors meeting. Board members continued to review the county's current solar ordinances and MidAmerican Energy's proposed Nottoway Valley Solar Project, a roughly 50-megawatt solar development planned on nearly 400 acres near Clarinda. Discussions also follow MidAmerican's filing of a generating certificate application with the Iowa Utilities Commission for the project. Recently, the board discussed a copy of the county's solar ordinance passed in December 2024 that marked up with suggested changes from MidAmericans. As Supervisor Todd Maher says while there are some minor language changes he would be okay with addressing, he feels the majority of the ordinance should remain the same.
I just think that we need to stick to our principles and our, you know, what we had. And I think if MidAmerican wants to go around it and go through other ways of doing it and bypass county rule and have that tagged on their corporation, then I guess that's what they'll have to do.
Supervisors Chair Judy Clark says she was under the impression the board would look into possible changes to the ordinance after MidAmerican officials spoke with more of the neighboring landowners near the project.
That was my understanding with the supervisors, that once that John visited with those people and there weren't objections, that we would go back and look at a little bit and maybe ease it up a little bit, like the setbacks and stuff. But that hasn't happened. And John did do it. John did visit with the landowners.
Okay.
And so, he withheld his end of the bargain.
However, Clark emphasized she doesn't like the MidAmerican is attempting to go around the county's ordinances with the IUC. Maher notes the county should ensure it has representation in the IUC hearing process for the application and stand up for its local ordinances.
So that they at least understand that, hey, this big conglomerate is going to make a workaround and, you know, kind of a bypass to any county government rule, and basically saying that we don't care what your citizens or your board says, we're going to put this project in. And so I think we need to at least show some resistance to that and not just back down.
The board ultimately reached a consensus not to alter the ordinance and instead to look into getting involved in the IUC process. Mayher notes the IUC allows the project. More conversations are needed with state lawmakers on ways to preserve local control. Economic development groups in Pottawatomie and Mills counties are combining forces. Officials from Advanced Southwest Iowa Corporation and the Mills County Economic Development Foundation discussed the new partnership at the Pottawatomie County Board of Supervisors regular meeting late Tuesday morning. Advanced Southwest Iowa CEO Paula Hazelwood says boards for both groups have approved having the Mills County Economic Development Foundation move under her group's umbrella and creating a shared position between the two nonprofits. Hazelwood says the move also comes as the current Mills County Economic Development Director, Mark Norman, is set to retire at the end of 2026. While the new individual would be an Advanced Southwest Iowa employee, Hazelwood says the individual hired would serve in critical roles for both counties.
They will be the acting executive director for Mills County Economic Development Foundation, specifically when Mark leaves at the end of this year. But they will also be our senior manager of development for rural Pottawatomie County. And when I say that, I mean they will focus on this site development initiative that we just talked about, and then really work with the communities and the larger industries.
While the two groups would still have separate budgets, Hazelwood explained that Advanced Southwest Iowa would pay for the expenses associated with the position, with Mills County Economic Development then reimbursing half of the salary and all other costs. He adds the two groups have already partnered on projects in the past, including economic development efforts along the Mills Pottawatomie County border, with the position serving as one way to try and grow the region.
One of the biggest things that we have going is that obviously, you know, our county abuts Mills County and there's some shared services down there on Bungie. We have a lot of activity that is being proposed in that area right now. There's already been one area of land that has been annexed into the city of Council Bluffs, but still sits in Mills County, so they will continue to collect their taxes.
Norman says the Mills County Economic Development Foundation views the move as a positive for the county, says there's a lot of synergy between Mills County and rural Pottawatomie County. While the Pottawatomie County supervisors took no formal action, multiple board members expressed their support for the move. Hazelwood says the hope is to hold candidate interviews for the position in August and to have the individual hired and on board in September to work with Norman until he departs in December. A dispute between two KMA land communities over an emergency medical services agreement reached a settlement of sorts this week. At its regular meeting Wednesday evening, the Emerson City Council unanimously approved rescinding a 2018 agreement with Malvern Rescue and instead pursuing a similar EMS agreement with the City of Red Oak and its fire department's EMS services. The move follows discussions with Red Oak City Administrator Lisa Cotter, Mills County Supervisor Jack Sayers, and other residents in attendance at Wednesday's meeting. Earlier this week, the Red Oak City Council backed sending a notice to Emerson that unless meaningful progress was made on an agreement, the Red Oak Fire Department's EMS services no longer respond to Emerson effective Monday. Emerson Councilmember Dylan Spencer tells KMA News the council ultimately moved forward on the agreement with Red Oak after hearing additional public comments from residents not only from Emerson but from the entire fire district.
They expressed their concerns to the council and kind of explained to them that this isn't just regarding the city of Emerson's residents. This regards everybody in our fire district. And that, I think, kind of changed the mindset and opened the eyes on the council and allowed them to put, I think, political disagreements aside and understand that this was a way better option for us.
Red Oak officials initiated discussions last fall about surrounding communities contributing financially to the Red Oak Fire Department's EMS services, and the Red Oak Council approved similar agreements with Stanton, Elliott, Grant, and Villisca last month. Spencer says it was a common sense move to enter into the agreement with Red Oak.
The Malvern agreement was paying more for less when we could have paid $7,200 on a 2-year contract with Red Oak for a $1.8 million facility with full-time staff that's 10 minutes away.
While Malvern Rescue has advanced life support or ALS available, Spencer says it's difficult to rely solely on volunteers for ambulance services and have adequate response times to medical emergencies.
You know, people have to work and they have day jobs and things like that. So to me, it just didn't make sense. Plus, not only that, their backing up would be Silver City or Glenwood. And for Silver City or Glenwood to get 15, 20 minutes south of Emerson is going to take 30 minutes or more. And to me, that's way too long.
Spencer says the agreement requires Emerson to pay Red Oak $7,200 over 2 years, whereas the contract with Malvern would have cost $10,000. Last fall, Red Oak officials indicated that more than 10% of their EMS calls originated from outside the fire department's response areas. After more than 40 years of service in the community, Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers is retiring later this year. At its regular meeting Wednesday evening, the Clarinda City Council unanimously approved hiring McGrath Consulting Group for a police chief executive search. Brothers is stepping down after reaching Iowa's maximum age for most law enforcement and paid professional firefighters at 65. City Manager Gary McLarnon tells KMA News the cost for hiring the process are expected to be just shy of $10,000.
They've split it down where there's just certain items that they just charge a flat fee for. But anyway, after you look at all the different items, it does say the city was responsible for advertising costs. So we've estimated it'll probably be just a hair lower than $10,000. But like I said, a lot of it depends on how far the council wants to go with some different aspects of the different areas.
McLarnon says Ron Moser, who is retired police chief, will handle the consulting work. He notes they hope to have more information on an exact timeline for the search later this month.
Keith said he would call them today and get a timeline, so we really don't have that yet. But the sooner the better for this, because I know he's going to be done later this fall. So we will get an update on the timeline probably at the next council meeting.
Brothers served in the Clarinda Police Department for nearly 44 years, including more than 20 as police chief. McLarnon commended Brothers for his commitment to the department and community.
He's done outstanding. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better guy to be in the position he's in. He's been very valuable for the community. He volunteers a lot for different events and stuff, too. And, you know, he's going to be sorely missed. He really will. But, you know, it's time for him to just go ahead and retire and enjoy life for a while. So he's been very valuable for the city of Clarinda.
Brothers is one of several department heads departing for retirement soon, with McLarnon and Clarinda Fire Chief Roger Williams also expected to retire early next year. McLarnon says the hope is starting searches now will provide a smoother transition for the city. Clarinda school and city officials are working on a proposed property transfer in the community. By unanimous vote, late Wednesday afternoon, the Clarinda School Board set a public hearing for August 12th on the proposed conveyance of district property to the city. Speaking on KMA's Morning Line program Thursday morning, Clarinda School Superintendent Jeff Privia says the city is interested in the district's former football field, a block-sized parcel of land currently used for bus parking and youth football and soccer practices.
That property, the city has expressed an interest in developing that and came and asked us if we would be willing to let them have that. So we're working with the city, trying to iron that out.
Privia says it's up to the city to decide what to do with that property.
What they do with it. You know, whether they develop it, I'm sure it'll take a few years before that's even a possibility, but I guess you never know. And we'll let them develop that property and get that maybe back on the tax roll for the community.
Primus says the district has other options for bus parking and youth practices.
I've been told down at Shank Lake there would be room for soccer and football practice down there by the city manager. And as far as the buses go, we'd have two options. We could do some work here at McKinley, or we can do some work up at the high school. So, you know, we have a couple options for the buses, which would be more of my concern. But right now, I don't think that'll be happening for probably 2-3 years possibly before we'd need to get those things moved. So I think we got plenty of time to iron out what we'd like to do with our buses.
The superintendent says there's no sales price involved with the conveyance. Progress is reported on at least one major initiative in Malvern. A little over 2 years ago, Malvern was among the 50 cities selected for the Charles E. Lakin Foundation's Revitalize Southwest Iowa initiative, a $165 million donation to fund a variety of community projects throughout the region. Recently, Vision Malvern, the local nonprofit established to help bring the funds to Malvern and surrounding smaller communities, celebrated the successful sale of the group's first home constructed through the initiative. Speaking on KMA's Morning Line program Monday morning, Vision Malvern Secretary Kate McGann says the funding helped the group construct a roughly 1,600-square-foot ranch-style home with 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and modern finishes on Augusta Circle in their Fairview Homes Estate subdivision.
Closed a couple weeks ago, and so we're excited to get a new family into that home and into our community, and And the other homes should be listed here in the next couple of weeks. And then our goal, as Jay said, is to sort of just keep, repeating that cycle.
The Community Foundation for Western Iowa manages and administers the Charles E. Lakin Foundation Fund for Malvern, Iowa, an Endow Iowa Field of Interest Fund. Some of the funds are also set up at the Community Foundation for Trainer, Atlantic, and Stanton. Begansa's, where they recently sold home, is one of several housing projects underway, partly thanks to shovel-ready sites at the golf course subdivision.
Purchased several lots at our golf course and worked with Mark Hughes Construction out of Glenwood to build. At this point, we have a townhome that's been completed. One unit has sold. The other unit is currently for sale. And then Mark is just finishing up three single-family homes.
Jay Burdick is president of Vision Malvern. Burdick says the recent home sale is a milestone they hope to build on moving forward.
The demand for housing in Malvern is still really strong. And so, the timing of this money from the Lakins is, perfect because, houses in this town don't sit for sale very long. And so we're just going to keep building until people don't want to move here anymore. Right now, it's just, we're just all systems go on the construction of homes here.
The Lakin Foundation launched the initiative in 2024 to assist projects in housing, child care, and education, while loans have assisted the housing construction. Began, says the new Lakin Foundation Child Development Center of East Mills, and the 5210 before and after school program also received grant funding. Nebraska city officials are targeting a pair of infrastructure improvement projects for later this summer. At its regular meeting Monday evening, the Nebraska City Council approved advertising for bids for the 2025 City Square Improvement Project and the 2025 Fifth Corso Improvement CDBG Project. Speaking on KMA's Morning Line program Tuesday morning, Nebraska City Mayor Brian Beckett says the City Square Project entails improvements to the block of roads around City Hall, including Central Avenue, 14th and 15th Streets, and 1st Corso. The project also includes a similar section of 4th Corso.
So those four little sections, roads, one block, we're going to improve curb and gutter, ADA access, and then top lay asphalt on that, because all those sections are could have been chewed up. And then along with that part of it, we have a very small section of two blocks of cement, concrete, sidewalk we've been wanting to put on, and 4th Corso, what we call the S-curves as you come in to town from the east. It S-curves just before you get to our main traffic light on 4th Corso and 11th Street.
And Peckett says plans call for opening and reviewing any bids on the project July 30th before recommendations are made to the City Council at its first regular meeting in August. An Essex couple is the latest to receive a special recognition in the community. Todd and Becky Franks were recently named the Grand Marshals for the 2026 Essex Labor Day celebration taking place September 4th through the 7th. Speaking on KMA's Morning Line program Wednesday morning, Essex Community Development Director Tess Nelson says the Franks have been an integral part of the Essex community for years, including public safety.
Both of them have served on the fire and rescue squads for a very long time, helping out with the fundraisers and so forth. They help out with youth sports. They coach. They are at every event possible. Becky's, behind the scenes, helping out any way that she can, including taking photos, photos for parents, photos for local media.
The Franks have been members of the Essex community for nearly 40 years, with Todd also serving as Essex fire chief. Nelson says the Franks are also heavily involved in a variety of community groups and organizations.
They're both huge in the Booster Club. They're both really active church volunteers. Becky is a 4-H leader and helps with the bountiful baskets that we have here in town. And she hosts Fifth Quarter for kids after the games. And they're just, anytime you need anything from either of them, they will make time to help a person out.
Stars, Stripes, and Small Town Life is the theme of this year's Essex Labor Day celebration. That wraps up this week in KMA Land. Be listening each week at this time for This Week in KMA Land. For more information all the time, log on to KMALand.com. You can also hear this program in its entirety. From the entire KMA News team, this is Mike Peterson. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This Week in KMA Land is a presentation of KMA News.